Be determined to be grateful. Be determined to give him praise. See, gratitude is a posture that comes with intentionality. It doesn't just happen automatically. It doesn't just all of a sudden fall on us from heaven. We have to be intentional and make the decision to be grateful. It's an act of the will. It's a choice that we have. When information comes, it's a choice. Am I going to respond with gratitude and thanksgiving to God, or am I going to allow myself to worry or to get frustrated or agitated? See, we don't thank God for the situations that are unfavorable. We thank him in the situations that are unfavorable. You understand what I'm saying? And that's a posture that's an act of the will. It is a posture of faith. Because gratitude is a posture of faith. It's acknowledging him for what he has done in the past, for his faithfulness, for all that we have received, and all that he has already done because of the finished works of the cross that have yet to be a reality in our lives. See, gratitude, the posture of gratitude helps us to believe that we have received. The scripture in Mark says that when you stand praying, believe that you have already received it, and then you will what? Have it. So gratitude helps us to believe that we have received. See, a lot of times when people have heard that teaching, they start walking around saying, I believe I receive, I believe I receive, I believe I receive, I believe I receive. You can't make yourself believe you receive like that. The posture of believing you have received comes from saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you is a phrase of agreement with God. It is a phrase of saying, I agree with how you are performing your will in my life in this moment. Even though I don't like what I'm seeing, I'm agreeing with how you are performing your perfect plan because I know it is flawless. So I just say, thank you, Jesus, that you're performing your word. Can y'all just say, thank you, Jesus? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. See, gratitude protects us. It's a shield. It protects us from complacency, entitlement, disbelief, and unbelief. See, complacency can set in if we choose not to be grateful. The manifest presence of God is our normal, especially in this house. But if we get so used to his presence, then we can become complacent. And then if we become complacent, that complacency moves us out of alignment to receive all that we're supposed to receive from the manifest presence. And it's the same at home. A lack of gratitude can bring entitlement. Entitlement brings pride. Pride brings a fall. See, entitlement moves a believer from the place of grace, recognizing that everything we receive is a gift from God, and puts them in a place that acts like God has to do something. God doesn't have to do anything. He's God. He didn't have to let us wake up. He didn't have to save us. Jesus didn't have to shed his blood. He didn't have to bless us. He didn't have to make us his sons and daughters. He didn't have to fill us with Holy Spirit. But he did those things out of his love and because of his grace. And everything that we have a right to because of our covenant with him is by grace. And so we have to walk the fine line of understanding. We have a right to things simply because he gave them to us. And we're not really entitled to it, but we're recipients of the free gift of God. You guys following me? When we step into the posture of gratitude intentionally, we have to be mindful to take authority over our thoughts, because our thoughts and our mind would try to get us to look at things negatively, to get frustrated, to get agitated, to act in the flesh versus to respond by the power of Holy Spirit. Psalms 34:1. It says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. You know what? That's a good flow, but let's pause for 1 second. Because you got me wanting to worship. I want to be like, thank you, Jesus. Psalms 34:1. Turn there with me. It says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. Notice it said soul. It didn't say spirit. The boast in the Lord must come from our soul realm, the mind, the will, the emotions, the place where we're feeling our emotions, our decision, where our desires are. That is the place we must boast in the Lord and bless him, because that is the place that gets attacked when things come that try to get us out of the place of gratitude. And it says, his praise shall continue to be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast of the Lord. The humble will hear it and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. We hear that quoted a lot in certain fellowships. They say, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let's exalt his name together. I mean, that's good. But in the context of what it's saying, listen, when things get tough, I'm going to bless the Lord at all times. And the people that are around me, I want you to magnify him with me and exalt his name together. I don't need you to say, yeah, you know, you're right, child, you know, that's right. I don't need you to join in to speaking the disagreement or even rehearsing the problem. I need you to join in with me and exalting God. That's what it's saying. So it's saying, magnify him with me. Let's exalt his name together. Now, David says this, I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. And so what did he do? He sought God. God answered. But before he even sought God, he had to bless God. See, the posture of gratitude, and Apostle said this last week, the posture of gratitude allows us to hear what the Lord is saying. And frustration and agitation would try to get us out of the place of hearing, so that we miss the instruction or so that we miss what he's telling us to do. It says, I sought, he answered me and delivered me. Let's look at 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Now, this is a very familiar passage, but I want you to look at this in terms of gratitude. We know about Jehoshaphat having the singers go out first and all of those things. But it was a serious situation. His nation was surrounded by enemy armies. They were facing a threat of being, thank you, Eric, of being conquered, of going into captivity. Now, we see nations today that are in threat of being conquered. I mean, you can look at the world events and see nations today that are concerned about being invaded. And so that was the situation. And the armies around Jehoshaphat, it was more of them than the army he could muster up. They were outnumbered. And so they fast, they pray, they get a prophetic word. And so they respond to the prophetic word. And in verse 20, it says this. They rose early in the morning and went out to the wilderness of Tekoa. And when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Listen to me, O Judah, excuse me, and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Put your trust in the Lord, your God, and you will be established. Put your trust in his prophets and succeed." When he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who sang to the Lord and those who praised him in holy attire. And they went out before the army and said, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his loving kindness is everlasting." One translation says, "For his mercy endureth forever." Now, it says that they went out in holy attire. Get this imagery. They put on holy garments, not the battle armor that the army had on. They went out what appeared to be, some would call, exposed and vulnerable. See, sometimes the posture of gratitude can make you feel like you're not really fighting the fight of faith. You can almost feel like you're not engaging in warfare like you should. You may feel like saying thank you, Jesus, in the middle of a challenge is rolling over and taking it. But it's not that you are exposed to the enemy. You're covered by God. Because here's what happened. It says, when they began singing and praising, the Lord set ambushments against the sons of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, so they were routed. What happened? While they were releasing expressions of praise, something was happening simultaneously where the enemies that came against them were now being defeated supernaturally by God himself, and they didn't have to fight the battle. See, this is why the singers didn't need to put on armor, because they weren't going to fight. They were just going to walk in the victory and pick up the spoils of a fight that Jesus had won for them. See, gratitude will posture you to walk in a position where there will be times when you don't even have to do a thing. You just have to go and receive the spoils of the victory. Now, it wasn't just the expression of singing and praising. It wasn't just the song. It wasn't just the music. It was the posture by which it was offered up. Because songs are songs. But what causes grace to be released upon a song is the posture in which that song is released from. You can sing a song, you can play something, but if it's not from the posture of faith and the posture of gratitude, it would not have the supernatural impact that it's supposed to have. This is why we're very intentional about heart posture, to make sure what we do and what we offer to God comes from this position, this right heart posture. And this is how some people can say, "Well, I declared the scripture didn't work." Well, what heart posture were you in when you spoke the word? See, God requires us, and it says the Father is looking for those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. Meaning he's looking for us to worship him in truth according to his word, but also engage with him from a heart posture that causes our spirit to connect with him. And see, gratitude moves us into that space. Say gratitude. Verse 24 says, when Judah came to the lookout of the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and behold, there were corpses lying on the ground, and no one had escaped. Now, mentally, how does that compute? Because there has to be a last person standing. How did that last person not escape? But some kind of way, no one escaped. It was a complete work. It was completely done. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take their spoil, they found much among them, including goods, garments, and valuable things, which they took for themselves, more than they could carry. And they were 3 days taking the spoil because there was so much. They were 3 days carrying the spoil back and forth because it was so much left from a battle that they didn't have to fight because they offered up praise to God from the posture of gratitude. I would submit to you, some of you don't have to fight certain battles. Some of the warfare that you're dealing with, you're not even supposed to be involved in that fight. You're supposed to sit back and thank him for his power, for his deliverance, for his hand moving. And then you step in when it's time to receive the spoil. Thank you, Jesus. Let's look at Acts 16. Acts 16. Thank you, Lord. In Acts 16, we know this passage, we know this event. It's when Paul is put in jail. He's put in jail, he's arrested, he's beaten for obeying God. A lot of times when we walk in obedience to the Lord, sometimes we get this thought that everything is going to be easy because we said yes. Saying yes doesn't mean ease, but it does mean grace. And every time you say yes, you will have to say yes again. Saying yes to the Lord is a daily thing. Surrendering to him is a daily thing. Gratitude, the posture, is a daily thing. Let me tell you this story, and I'm praying that it fits here, but I hear Holy Spirit instructing me to tell you this story. So let me tell you this story. We just going to chat. We're going to pretend like it's not Sunday morning worship. We're just kicking it. So a couple days ago, Val and I, we flew to Norfolk, Virginia, to be a part of a conference. And it was a powerful conference. God moved in supernatural ways. There were testimonies of miraculous healings and all kind of things. And so initially, when we were going to fly out, we were going to fly out Wednesday. We needed to be there by a certain time Wednesday afternoon for this walkthrough. So we were going to fly out Wednesday, get there in enough time to be where we need to be for the walkthrough. Keep it moving. Straightforward. Val says, hey, we need to fly in Tuesday because that Wednesday evening is a formal event. And I'm a lady. She's a lady. She wants to take her time getting ready. I'm a dude. I'm like, you just put your stuff on. So we had that discussion, and we end up flying in Tuesday. So Tuesday we go, and it was planned smoothly. 7 o'clock, we leave the house. 7:30, we get to the vet to drop my dog off, and then we keep going to the airport. We get there by 9. You know, we fly out at 11:30, have a layover in D.C. to change to get this connecting flight. We're there by 2. We're good. We get to spend the whole afternoon there before we have to do anything, right? Sounds like a good plan, right? Y'all can holler back at me, right? You think it went that way?
No.
No. So we get there, and we get there a little later than we want to, but that's okay. We get there, we get through security, and we're waiting, and we see this message saying our flight delayed. And at first, it was like delayed 15, 20 minutes. We're like, oh, no big deal. We get on this delayed flight now. The plane is in the tarmac. And then they say, hey, we're going to be waiting another 20 minutes because something is happening in D.C. They grounded all the planes. Nothing is leaving, nothing is coming in. It was like Jericho. It was greatly shut up. And so we're like, okay. So we're sitting on the plane now, just waiting, chilling. Then the pilot says, this flight is going to be canceled because we're still not letting anybody into D.C. We apologize for the inconvenience. You're going to have to go back out and see someone at the desk and get a new flight. So we get off, and we go to the lady. And mind you, by now, we haven't even done nothing or gone anywhere, but I'm hungry and tired. And when you feel hungry and tired, you have to be more intentional so you don't respond from the flesh or from the soul. You want to respond from Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not in this place. I'm going to be very honest with you. Well, I'm honest all the time. I wasn't thinking, thank you, Jesus, this flight got delayed. I was not thinking that. I wasn't thinking, thank you, Jesus, we can get off and I can go get some Starbucks. I wasn't thinking that. I was thinking, Lord, before we left, I prayed for a smooth trip, that everything would go smoothly, no issues with the plane, no issues with the people on the thing, no issues in the air, that no issues with the hotel, no issues anywhere. I clear the path in the name of Jesus. I declare a clear path to go fulfill the assignment. That was my prayer and expectation. And so part of me was shocked that it wasn't looking like how I prayed, even though it still happened the way I prayed. See, when things don't look like how you picture when you pray, it causes you to not be in a place of gratitude and thanking God in the middle of the situation, because you're trying to figure out, why does this not look like I imagined? I prayed, I declared, I heard the word, I'm being obedient. It should look like this, but it doesn't. It looks almost like the complete opposite. Even when it looks like it's the complete opposite, God is still fulfilling his plan, and we still have to say, thank you, Jesus. Because we don't know. I do know now, but I won't say it online because we're live streaming. I didn't know at the time what God had us avoid by having us to fly all the way to Chicago to go to Virginia versus to go to D.C. God sovereignly caused us to avoid a situation. But all I could think about was, when she said, you want to fly to Chicago? I was like, yeah. And I was like, no. I don't want to wait 3 hours. I got to fly north and then wait 3 hours just to fly back. I'm like, we won't get there till 10 o'clock at night. I was like, we can just go back home, go to sleep, and come back tomorrow. But we fly to Chicago now because the Lord sovereignly caused us to avoid a situation that was happening at that airport. We get there, and now the enemy was trying to get me and Val to start arguing, and that wasn't going to happen, because we're on a trip together to go minister. It's not like normally when I go speak, I'm by myself, and when we speak together, we're normally here. This was like us speaking together outside of this house, which was a first. And so we weren't going to be arguing, because we're going to be teaching together about helping people operate in the prophetic, and we weren't going to be in the flesh. And so Val was like, well, we need to see, what is the Lord saying about this? Why did he allow it? And I'm like, why did he allow it? I'm like, it's the devil. I mean, we need to take authority. So we get to Chicago, and we got this 3-hour layover. And we're walking, and I see this bookstore. And me, I got books now in my backpack. Took me 20 minutes to pack them right so they wouldn't get damaged, because I don't like checking a bag. And so I'm carrying my thing. I'm like, let's just go into this bookstore. So I'm talking to the lady, and I say, what would it take to get my book in this store? She was like, here's the number, here's the website. We love independent authors. Cool. Then she starts talking to me about what she reads, finds out she's a believer, and she wants to know more about operating in the power of God. The Lord tells me, give her one of your books. So I pull one out and give it to her. Because at first she was like, well, can I see what the cover looks like? So I pull it out, show it. The Lord tells me to give her a book. I said, here, I believe you should have this. And then, of course, she was like, well, can you sign it? So I'm like, okay. So I sign it. And as I'm signing the book, the Lord gives me a word of knowledge to write in there. So I write the prophetic word in there, sign the book, give it to her. Now we leave there, and we fly to Norfolk. If we would not have been rerouted, this one individual would not have had the interaction with me to increase her faith, nor have the tool in her hand. The book was released as a tool, so I know some of them I'm not going to sell. Some of them I know I'm just going to give away because it's a tool. And so she wouldn't have got the tool in her hand that she was looking to go to the next level in her relationship with God. But I was too busy thinking about being inconvenienced that I was missing the moment where she was probably saying, thank you, Jesus, for sending them here. I was like, Lord, why you got me over here? It don't make sense to have to fly to Chicago to fly to. See, the posture of gratitude would keep us from missing moments. Some things that may appear to be an inconvenience that would try to get us agitated and frustrated are actually the divine rerouting of God to answer somebody's prayer. And when we say, here I am, Lord, send me, that means send me whether it's convenient or not. We didn't give conditions to Jesus upon being sent. At least I hope you didn't. And if you did, he ain't paying attention to him anyway, because he's Lord. So now we get to Virginia. We get the Uber. Now we arrive to the hotel. Now, mind you, this hotel reservation was made like months ago, but they had me for two different reservations. You know, the first night, Tuesday night was one, Wednesday, Thursday night was a different one. We get there. Now, you're talking about having a moment like Jesus? It was like that, because they said, we have no room for you. I was like, what? Wait. I'm like, wait a minute, what do you mean there's no room in the inn? Because I'm sitting here like, I have the confirmation number right here. And they said, I'm sorry, we overbooked and we don't have a room for you. So where do you suppose I go? Where should I stay at? And now it's about 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. And so now I'll tell you, I didn't get on a scale of 1 to 10 of being in the flesh. I wasn't like 10 being not in the flesh, 1 being all the way in the flesh. I might have been like a 7. I didn't respond the way I felt like I could and should have. But I didn't get frustrated. I didn't get all the way frustrated. But I was like, mm-mm. So now I'm on the phone with the 800 number because the people at the desk was like, sorry. And somebody walks in behind me. They tell him the same thing, but they tell him, wait a second, let me check something. And he's like, well, just let me know if I need to leave and find somewhere else. And he was like, I've been driving all night. You know, I really don't have time. And they were like, no, just wait a second. They went and cleaned the room and got him in. And you know, I was like, wait a minute. Hold up. How did this guy get a room and I didn't? I'm like, did he make his reservation before me? And so now we're dealing with that. And the people at the counter were supposed to, because I found out that this particular hotel has a policy that if that happens, because they have a room guarantee, that they're supposed to call and find another space for you and cover it. But they didn't do that. So I'm on the phone with somebody, they're trying to find somewhere, and I'm like using Apple Maps to find out how close it is. So by God's grace, we found another hotel that was 5 minutes away. And so imagine this image, and that image almost got me to a place of frustration. I got my backpack on, carrying my bag. Then I have, you know, Val has her bag, and I'm pulling Val's suitcase. 11 o'clock at night, downtown Norfolk, walking to the other hotel. I'm like, how does this look? God is looking like some, yeah, right. God is looking very bad at this moment. We get to this other hotel. Now they charge me more than for the one night. And by now it's midnight and checkout's at 10. So for 10 hours, I'm paying more than I would have paid for a whole afternoon, evening, night at the other hotel. And so my budget was just blown out the water right then with that one transaction. I mean, God covered it, but still, you know how you have your budget and your stuff in your mind? So all of that happens, and Val was like, we got to look at what's happening spiritually. In my mind, it took a second to get there, because I had to think, well, Lord, thank you that we do have a room somewhere. We do have a bed. We can shower. We are not sitting up in the lobby saying, well, I ain't going nowhere because I ain't got nowhere to go. And I was sitting there thinking, man, I almost was in the place where I was not grateful that the Lord provided. The funds that I didn't want to spend, I had, so it wasn't like stuff was going to be an overdraft. It was in my account. I just didn't want to spend it. Yes, it was an inconvenience that I couldn't stay at that hotel the first night and then had to come back the next day for the other two nights. Yes, the appearance of us walking with luggage at midnight in downtown in a city we've never been before, appearing homeless and whatever the case may be, not knowing what the climate is like there. Yes, that was embarrassing. Yes, I was by then extremely tired and hungry from everything else that had compounded. It almost got me to the place where I couldn't lock in with what God wanted me to do in that space. See, the enemy would try to use small agitations, and he would try to compound them, because if it was one big thing, you'd be like, oh no, I'm gonna speak to this and tell it to be removed. But he'd try to use small agitations, compound it, to get you out of posture of knowing what God wants you to do in a particular space or season. But gratitude keeps you from that. Because when I got back focused, I mean, Val seemed extremely unbothered, which almost made me feel bothered. And I was like, but when I got back focused, I spoke to my soul and said, no, I'm here on assignment. This assignment was planned 2 years ago. 2 years ago, it was planned for me to be here. And I was like, no, it's something that God wants to do through us that would not be hindered by having the wrong perspective and the wrong attitude. So when I got back, when I said, thank you, Lord, thank you, Jesus, and I got back focused, then the next morning, I had to go to that first hotel. Now, I didn't go in there like, you know. I went in there, and the Lord graced me to speak to a manager over the phone. And there was a gentleman there who was doing valet. And he was there the night before when I walked in. So he heard everything, saw my response. Holy Spirit said to me, because he had already dealt with me like I didn't handle life the greatest, even though I didn't like go off on nobody, but there still was a higher level of response that I could have had that would have been a better witness than what it was. So what I did, I walked up to him and said, listen, I apologize for last night if I appeared to be upset or frustrated with you or anybody else. And then he said to me, he was like, oh, no, you were fine. He was like, I totally understand. I'd have been mad, you know, that kind of thing. And he was like, you don't even have to apologize. I don't know what you're apologizing for. But I knew I didn't operate in the peace of God in that moment. And because I didn't, I wanted Jesus to be glorified. So I told him, listen, I wasn't exactly at peace like I should have been. So I'm going to apologize anyway, whether you saw the difference or not, because I know what the difference should have been. And so, but I came to that place after I got to the place of gratitude. I was like, even though it's not playing out the way I want, even though I said a smooth trip and it didn't feel smooth to me, God still fulfilled his word. And I was like, thank you, Jesus, that we didn't have to sit in the lobby all those hours. See, gratitude protects us. And sometimes when you are obeying God, you think it's going to be challenge-free. And just because you prayed and declared that it would be challenge-free doesn't mean that it actually going to be challenge-free. There are some things God will allow you to walk through that is not for you, but for somebody else. And in the middle of walking through it, if you respond like a person who doesn't know Jesus, God will not get the glory out of that situation. People may say, oh, you were just treated wrong and you have a right to respond that way, which is true. But just because we have a right to respond a certain way doesn't mean we should respond that way. Because the way we are supposed to respond is the one that God has preordained that will get him the greatest glory out of that situation. And I didn't come to that place until I began to thank God. I began to thank God for what he did do. I thank God that I had the finances in my account to cover it, so it wasn't really that big of an inconvenience. I thank God that the hotel was only 5 minutes away versus an hour away. And so this was the situation with Paul. In Acts 16, they tried to go to several different cities, and it says the Lord prevented them from going. But then they see this vision of a man from Macedonia, and they recognize God is telling them to go to Macedonia. So they could have gone other places, but they realize God is saying, go here. And so out of obedience, they go. Just like when God tells you to go somewhere, you go out of obedience. And you think, I'm going to go fulfill what the Lord has told me to do. But then when they get there, one of the incidents that happened is there was a slave girl that kept following them who had a spirit of divination. Now, a spirit of divination, we know that's a spirit that causes people to do psychic readings and all of those things. And so she was following them saying, hey, these are men of God. She was saying something true, but using the truth to bring deception, to bring credibility to what she does versus to glorify God. And so Paul, like, listen, we're not going to have that. After a couple days, he cast the demon out of her. Now, after doing that, the people who used to get paid by her psychic readings, now they can't make money because now she can't give a psychic reading anymore. So they stir up a crowd and get mad. See, sometimes people who are benefiting from others being in bondage will get upset at their freedom. And they will be upset at the instrument by which that freedom comes. So when God uses you to bring freedom to the captives, you know, when we quote that and we're like, Lord, use me to bring deliverance. Well, you got to be ready for what comes, for what happens after you bring deliverance to somebody. It's not all claps and pats on the back. That's the Instagram ministers that do that. That's the social media pastors where it makes it look all glamorous. But real life ain't like that. So Paul and them now, they get beaten by this crowd. Modern day vernacular would have been they got jumped. And then arrested. All because they casted a demon out of somebody. All because they helped somebody get free. Now they're in jail. And this is what they decided to do. Verse 25 says, but about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. They were in jail when they didn't have to be. They were beaten simply because they obeyed God and helped somebody. See, I know the thought probably came to them to think, man, if I'd have just went to Asia instead of Macedonia, none of this would have happened. Did God really tell me to go here? Because if he did, this wouldn't have happened. I wouldn't have had all these challenges. Did I miss the Lord? Opposition doesn't mean you miss God. Sometimes it means you're right on target with God. And that opposition is you dismantling and uprooting things that were already there. And so, the coulda, shoulda, woulda that would try to come to your mind, you can't allow yourself to live there. Because it would take you out of the place of gratitude and get you out of the posture of alignment. Remember, gratitude is a posture that releases faith. So at midnight, they were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening. So they were sitting there and just beginning to pray. They began to sing and worship the Lord, expressing gratitude for who he is. And then what happens is this. It says, suddenly there was an earthquake. The foundations of the prison were shaken. Immediately all the doors were open and everybody's chains were free. There was a supernatural response to an expression of gratitude to God through praise. They were determined to give God praise. And when they did, something supernatural happened. There was an earthquake. And then everybody's chains fell off. Now, because of the posture Paul and Silas had, they knew it wasn't, God didn't do that for them to escape. They didn't get up and say, oh, see you later. God delivered by his mighty hand. They stayed because their assignment was to help that jailer come to Jesus. Him and his, the jailer and his entire household got saved. You can read that in the rest of that chapter. Because of what God did, and what God did was a response to their posture of gratitude, because they were determined to be grateful and they were determined to give God praise. Say, I am determined to be grateful. I am determined to give God praise. Come on, Eric. So what situation are you in where you just need to give God praise in the midst of it, so that your covenant right of divine intervention can be seen and can happen, that will cause other people to want to know Jesus? What is it? What is it that your thank you Jesus would do for somebody who's watching you? What will your thank you Jesus do for somebody who's on the fence of suicidal ideations? What will your thank you Jesus do to someone who's dealing with oppression? What will your thank you Jesus do to the one who's a baby in Christ and is questioning, why did God allow this, or why does God do that? What will your mature thank you Jesus do? Can we just say, thank you, Jesus? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That's it. I'm done. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.